Hello, and welcome to season two of the podcast, Sounding the Alarm, Be Safe, Be Vigilant, Be Prepared. I'm your host, Leoncre Chevette, author of We Made Plans, which is available online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and Walmart, and your local bookstores. I'm also a trained paralegal and a corporate trainer. Today, we are doing something different with the podcast, and I hope you enjoy it. Today, we're doing a compilation of testimonies of Black women gun owners and non-gun owners. Each one will speak to why she chose to become or chooses not to become a gun owner. Which side of the fence do you fall on? The choice is ultimately yours, but at least listen in to these very different perspectives, okay? So again, thank you so much for joining me for season two of my podcast. And we're going to get started with my first guest, who is Babs. Babs was born in DC and raised in my hometown, or our hometown, of East Orange, New Jersey. She currently lives in the DMV. She is a proud Rutgers alum twice over, and her hobbies include traveling, reading, and watching TV, probably too much TV, but enjoys watching TV. She is not much of a sports fan, that I can attest to, but she loves women's gymnastics. So welcome, Babs. How are you today?
I am doing well. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you so much for joining me. We're going to talk about your experience as a gun owner. And I want you to start by, I want you to start with, like I do with all of my guest speakers, I want you to tell me a fun fact about yourself, or tell our listeners, really. Because I have some fun facts about you, but for the listeners, you go ahead and you choose what you tell.
You know, I had a hard time figuring out a fun fact about me because I think I'm pretty boring. But I will say a little known history fact, a little Black history fact for me is I played the trumpet in sixth grade. I thought I was Dizzy Gillespie and I was not. Absolutely was not.
That's funny that you would have played the trumpet, because knowing you, that is very appropriate for you to have played the trumpet.
But I thought it was going to be easy. It only had three keys. I figured it'll be a cakewalk. It was not a cakewalk. Not at all.
Yeah, I went with the flute because it was easy to carry into school. I was trying to carry a giant trumpet case. But and also my older sister played, so I was following in her footsteps. But good for you, Babs, for playing that trumpet in elementary and
That's right.
I was surprised when I heard that you owned firearms. I mean, I posted something about the podcast, and then you said something to me offline, and I was like, what? I didn't even know you owned a firearm. So I want you to tell us how you acquired your firearms.
So I am surprised I own firearms too. I am what you would call probably a reluctant gun owner. It was thrust upon me. My dad showed up one day when he came to visit, and he had a 38 with him and said, here. And I'm like, okay, so what am I supposed to do with this? I grew up, you know, my dad was a cop, so I grew up with guns in the house. I've always had a reverence for guns, and it was always a thing of, this is daddy's thing. You don't look at it. You don't touch it. I couldn't even open the door. So now you're going to give this to me and tell me to do what with it? Like, what am I supposed to do with this thing? So first it started with a 22 rifle. That's what it started with first.
Wait, then that's the first firearm that he gave you?
Yes, if you know my dad, you wouldn't be surprised. Yes, 22 rifle was the first gun he gave me. Again, no ask. And then a 38. And then when he died, I acquired the two that he had in his house. So now I go from not being interested in guns at all to having four. So yeah, one being a deer rifle. What am I going to do with a deer rifle? But go ahead. Yeah.
What is it? Venison. Venison's supposed to be tasty.
I love deer meat. Love deer meat. But I'm not going to go out there and shoot no Bambi. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know how dads are.
They want you to
protect yourself by any means necessary. So I completely understand.
Oh, I had to get the rules. Like, when can I shoot somebody? If they break in my car and drive it, can I shoot them? He was like, no. Why are you giving me this thing for? What do I have this for?
So that's one of my next questions. Like, are you like aware of the process in your state? Like, did you have to register these firearms and for where you are?
No. So when I got it, you know, not that I ever asked for it, I didn't know what to do with it. So, you know, my mother and her infinite wisdom was like, you better call and get it registered. Okay. So I called and they were like, you don't have to register your gun. But if you want to carry concealed, you need a permit. So then I went back and forth trying to figure out, did I want to have a permit to carry concealed? So I was talking to the officer and I said, so give me an example of why do I want to have a concealed permit? And he was like, well, if you go somewhere and you need to have a gun, you need to have a permit to carry it. And I said, if I go somewhere and I need to have a gun, I shouldn't be going to that location. But anyway, I decided in the end to go ahead and get the permit to carry concealed.
That's a valid point, though.
Yes.
Like, I don't
know. Where am I going that I need to have a gun, except in the gun range? I mean, where am I going to go? Go ahead.
Okay. So Babs, yeah, you're a regular comedian, but I mean, that's a valid point, though. I kind of agree. Like, if I have to carry a gun through a certain area, why should I go to that area?
Exactly.
But by the same token, I also understand that it's just having that comfort level of going anywhere in case right. something happens. So
in order to get the permit, though, I had to take a class. Mm-hmm. And so I chose to take a class with the NRA, and I had to pass a test. And then we had to go to the range. And mm-hmm. I think then I shot a couple of different guns. I shot a 44, I think it was a 44. Did I shoot a 9? I can't recall if I shot a 9. But I know mm-hmm. I had to shoot mine. And I took a test. And so when I passed the test, then I took my documentation to the county and I got my concealed permit.
Oh, good for
and
you.
And I got it renewed. So yeah.
You have to renew it how often?
I think it's every 5 years.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. So you went and took the class. Do you do additional training or were you just satisfied with that class?
Given that I didn't ask for a gun, I was satisfied with that class. And it was an all day thing. We had to learn how to, you know, hold the gun and shoot from different angles. You do it straight on with two hands, to the side with one arm, to the front with one arm. So we did a lot of different, you know, different ways. But I was satisfied then that I had, only thing I knew before was, you know, when I was a kid, I used to watch my dad clean his gun. That was our mm-hmm. bonding thing, strange bonding thing, right? That was our bonding thing. So I didn't know anything about weapons and, you know, ownership. And so I've learned a greater, you know, it's a huge responsibility to own a weapon. It's not no game. Yeah, the guy discovered an awesome responsibility and not to be taken lightly. So yeah.
No, not at all. Absolutely. I agree with you. So your comfortability level with them, you're pretty comfortable after taking that class.
Yes, I will admit for a long time, the gun had no bullets in it at home. And then my dad was like, that makes no sense. Put some bullets in that gun. So there was that. Yeah.
Yes. Yep. That makes your dad was a smart man. All right. So, I mean, you mentioned, you know, the responsibility and it's not a game and all of that stuff. Do you have any recommendations to other gun owners?
Definitely. See, people have an idea, I think, of from TV or what kind of gun they think they want in advance. The kickback, the recoil, the bigger mm-hmm. the gun, the bigger the recoil. And it hurts. You mm-hmm. know, it could do some damage to you. So I would definitely recommend one is get to learn different types of guns to hold, what kind you can hold in your hand. You don't want anything to be too heavy because a lot of times if you have to use it in a situation, you're not going to have time to get in position, so to speak, not necessarily.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So make sure you got one that can put your hand, that if you shoot it, the recoil will not send you completely back and off balance.
Right.
Have any kind of preconceived notion that you want to automatic because, you know, just go with an open mind and know the rules of your state before you embark on that journey.
Yes. Great information, Babs. Thank you so much.
You
I
are
appreciate
very
it.
Welcome. Well, thank you for having me.
Yeah. You know, it's always a pleasure talking to you. And I'm going to let our listeners know, here's a fun fact. I've known Babs since kindergarten and we've been friends since then and we met up, didn't realize the other one was going to the same college and we met up at Rutgers. Again, we were literally in the same dorm, two different floors. Yep. So that's a fun fact about me and Babs. We go way back.
Way back. Look, 25 years ago. No, way back.
Yeah, right. Okay. You know, it's longer than that. But anyway, thank you, Babs. I appreciate it. All right, guys. So I have to pause for a commercial break. And again, you're listening to Sounding the Alarm, Be Safe, Be Vigilant, Be Prepared podcast with your host, Leonque Chavette. So stay tuned for our next guest.
Greetings. This is Dr. Essie McCoy, your podcast host of Dr. Essie Speaks Education. I am elated to bring you a weekly show where I discuss everything about education. That's right. What you want to know, what you don't know, and what you need to know will be aired each Sunday at 5:30 p.m. Get ready, mark your calendars, and tune in to this show as we keep the pulse on education from an award-winning educator. Remember, once again, to tune in every Sunday at 5:30 p.m.
Hello, I'm Leonque Chavette, publisher, corporate trainer, speaker, and author of We Made Plans, a fictional novel which debuted as number 3 on Amazon's Hot New Releases. This amazing story chronicles the lives of a group of longtime friends who were in the midst of living their best lives when they experienced a devastating, trajectory-altering event. Hashtag the event. If you want to purchase my book, and you will, it can be found on Amazon.com and my website at www.leonquechavette.com. That's LeonqueChavette.com. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Sounding the Alarm, Be Safe, Be Vigilant podcast with your host, Leonque Chavette. This awesome podcast is produced by Elite Conversations Media. And if you want to connect my voice to face, please check me out on Instagram at Leonque_Chavette_author. That is LeonqueChavette_AUTHOR. Today, we're doing a compilation of testimonies of Black women gun owners and non-gun owners to examine different perspectives. And our next guest is Danita. Danita is a licensed clinical social worker for over 20 years and dedicated to working with children, adolescents, couples, and families across nonprofit, for-profit, and military organizations. She's served as a social work officer in the Army National Guard for 10 years and has a passion for helping others reach their full potential through training, supervision, leader development, and coaching. She enjoys blogging about love and relationships and is an advocate for women bearing arms. So right off the bat, you know where she stands. Welcome, Danita. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. And you?
I am great. Thank you. I appreciate you joining me. I appreciate your willingness to join me for the podcast. So
thanks for having me.
Yes, no problem. I want to start with how you acquired your firearms.
I acquired them as a gift. My interest in them started with the military, because of course we were required to qualify on an M16 AT mm-hmm. rifle, but we also had the opportunity to try other high power firearms during basic training.
Okay.
So that kind of initiated my love for mm-hmm. or interest in firearms. I ended up as an officer, you are required to qualify for on a 9mm. And mm-hmm. so I got a lot more comfortable with 9mm. And from that point on, I started practicing and devoted time to practicing with 9mm caliber firearms. And someone bought me a gift. It was a gift. My first firearm was a gift.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yes.
Okay. So I have to ask, was it a family member or a boyfriend who bought you a firearm?
Ex-husband then, but ex-husband now.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, that makes sense. Okay. Because I can't imagine mm-hmm. that I would just buy a friend. I'm in Jersey too, but I can't imagine I would just buy a friend a gun or a firearm. So
oh, yeah. No.
That makes sense. So you have, I guess, a high level of comfort in using them because you trained in the military, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. And so you you also said that you're an advocate for women to own firearms. So can you just elaborate on that?
Sure. Coming up in a time where, I mean, now is a different era, a different time and place. But before, when I came through the military, I mean, when I joined the military, it was a new thing for women to even be in that particular setting, let alone for women to be associated or it to be proper for women to handle or have firearms. It just wasn't, if you would say in some cultures, it wasn't ladylike. It just it wasn't a part of the gender role for women to have firearms. And over time, I think just it has changed. And in it changing, it has become more acceptable. And I'm just in favor of always leading, you know, by example, or, you know, being someone who has been in the military and gotten comfortable with it, sharing my passion in hopes of finding other like-minded women who have an interest that they haven't necessarily kind of followed through with getting any additional information or trying it out, and kind of serving as a kind of a mentor or advocate. I mean, I'm always the one who'll be a rebel and say, you know, don't put me in a box. If I enjoy something and it's not a typical outside of that box. And this is one of those areas where military and handling firearms. And then I found out that, you know, I had a skill for it. I'm actually interested in becoming an instructor. And through NAGA, that's one of the things they've been searching for and asking for more female instructors. So I've been thinking about it, but on a more in a personal setting, with joining, you know, online social groups for Black women, who have firearms, I've connected with other women in my area who have the same interest. And so I invite other women and we find the local range to actually just get together and get in that practice.
Yeah, actually that's how I found you on one of the Black women sites that we are on together. But you know, you always had really good information that you provided whenever someone was asking a question. You were very willing to share and you seemed knowledgeable. And I had no idea at the time your background, but, you know, I sent you a separate friend request so that I could, you know, continue to, you know, have that connection. Turns out we are in two very different states. I didn't know that at the time, but that's definitely how I found you. There are a number of different women gun owner groups that are available on, primarily for me, I get it from Facebook. And then I follow people traditionally on Instagram, but as I don't know that there's a specific group on Instagram, but I follow most of my people from Facebook. So any recommendations? Oh, wait, you know what I didn't do? I didn't get the fun fact from you. I get that from all of my guests and you are no different. So what is the fun fact?
I am an avid swimmer. I used to be a lifeguard at this place. It was called Wild World when I was coming up, but it's now Six Flags in Maryland. That's my fun fact. I love the water and swimming. So I used to be a lifeguard. I still swim today, but I used to be a lifeguard.
That's cool. That's cool. So you know how people say you have to say something twice when you're really doing something. So you swim swim.
I swim swim.
All right, that's cool. That is a fun fact. All right, so last thing, any recommendations to other gun owners or to women who haven't decided yet whether or not they want to purchase or become licensed?
Okay, so I would say for women who may have an interest or haven't decided exactly how they feel about firearms, check your local, find a local firing range, one that particularly has really cool activities. For example, my firing range does, you know, ladies night. They do bowling activities with the firing. They just do fun stuff to really give you different scenarios and you have the ability to try different things. So I would always say, go to a firing range, try different things, see how it feels, how you do with the noise, you know, check in and those senses to see how you do with it. Mm-hmm. Although I'm an advocate for it, I want people to be comfortable. And if it's not something that's for you, it's not for you. But that's a great way to kind of test the waters and see if you like it. The other thing I would probably recommend is most of my knowledge and education is continuous. And that's why I joined a local chapter that was close to me. I joined NAGA and then I joined a local chapter close to me where they do regular meetings, education, range time. And it was a way to kind of continue to develop skills, get feedback and coaching on just tips on just being safe and just real time, preparing for real time use if you ever have to use it. Just keeping those skills fresh. So I would definitely recommend joining a local where you can continue to get that education.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. The NAGA is the National African American Gun Association, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay,
yes.
Just want to make sure I said it right. All right, yes. So thank you so much. I appreciate it. Thank you. And again, your willingness to speak on this and to join me for the podcast is definitely appreciated. Let's pause for a commercial break. And again, you're listening to Sounding the Alarm, Be Safe, Be Vigilant, Be Prepared podcast with your host, Leonque Chavette. Stay tuned, guys.
Leonque Chavette is the author of the debut novel, We Made Plans. It chronicles the lives of a group of longtime friends in the midst of living their best lives when they experience a horrific trajectory-altering event. We Made Plans is a powerful piece taken right out of today's headlines. It's riveting and real. You'll become completely immersed in the lives of these relatable characters. We Made Plans by author Leonque Chavette is available online at Barnes & Noble, Walmart, Amazon, Mahogany Books, and check your local bookstores. We Made Plans, available now.
Welcome back to the Sounding the Alarm, Be Safe, Be Vigilant podcast with your host, Leonque Chavette. My book, We Made Plans, is available for purchase online with Amazon. For an ebook, you can go to Amazon, or if you want to purchase a paperback, you can go to Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Walmart, or you can purchase from your local bookstore. You can also check out my website, which is leonquechavette.com. That's where you can find all of the links to my podcast directory, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, and make a purchase. If you would like to connect my voice to face, you can always check me out on Instagram at leonque_chavette_author. So our next guest in this compilation of testimonies is Charisse. Charisse is an executive administrator at an internationally known financial institution. She is also a budding entrepreneur with two diverse businesses, which is jewelry design and essential services. I'm going to let her tell a fun fact about herself. Welcome, Charisse. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm good. All right. So all of my guests, well, for the most part, they all start out telling a fun fact about themselves. So what's your fun fact?
I think a fun fact for me that most people don't realize when they encounter me is that I love to laugh and I love to travel. The traveling thing, I can understand. That's not a big deal. But people honestly don't think that I love to laugh, and I do.
Really? Why don't they think you love to laugh?
I don't know. I think my facial expression, if I'm concentrating on something, may be a little intense. So they don't think that I am a naturally jubilant person. So when I something tickles me, I love to laugh, and then they are surprised at how deep and big my laugh is. I actually had a friend in high school who told me he was a budding comedian, and he told me he was going to sit me in the front row because I had such a good laugh.
Okay, well, that's good. And that's interesting because of how I know you. I'm surprised I can also in part see that knowing your facial expressions, but I also know you and know that you are a jubilant person, like you said. But, you know, I sometimes get the same thing. And that you love to travel. Yes, definitely that you love to travel is a fun fact. And some of the places that you've been, like Dubai, right? Haven't you been to Dubai and to all kinds of Caribbean islands and fun places?
Italy, yeah.
Italy, I know, all the fun spots, all the great spots.
Yes.
Okay, All right. So that is, thank you for sharing that. Mm-hmm. And let's get started, because for you, your perspective is a little bit different from the other two guests that I just spoke with. So I want you to tell us, tell the listeners, what was your experience with firearms when you were growing up?
Well, when I was growing up, fortunately, we did not have any firearms in our home, but friends of family would have firearms. And the thing that I think really put me out about firearms is a story that my mom told me about a young woman that she saw get murdered, and then the guy who did it shot himself. And it just had such an impact on me that I really have an aversion to firearms.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's an interesting story.
Yeah.
And did your mom tell you this when you were a kid?
Yes.
Okay, well, that'll do it to you.
Definitely do it.
Yeah. Okay. So that's understandable that you wouldn't want to be involved with firearms based on that story alone. So yes. Then you've never owned a firearm yourself?
No.
Okay. No. All right. So, I know that you are adamantly against it, and you're not alone. I do often ask you about it, about going to the range and about, trying to get you to make a purchase, but you're not alone in not having a desire to own a firearm. So I want you to share with our listeners what guides you on that decision to not become a licensed firearms owner.
I just don't like the idea of having a weapon in my home. One of the things I did experience growing up was people get into altercations and they get angry. And I just think that having a weapon in the home, if that situation comes up, it just could lead to something disastrous. I personally don't want to own one because I don't think I have the temperament for it. I tell my daughter all the time that when I am afraid, I get angry. And so if I were afraid or if I were angry, I would probably not be thinking clearly and would use such a weapon. And it just is too much possibility of hurting someone, killing someone, and changing everyone's life forever in a split second of not being able to control yourself. I don't like it if you have children in the home. People say that, we'll separate the bullets from the gun. And in my mind, if you needed an emergency, how is that helpful? If you've got to go to one place to get your gun and another place to get your bullets. And I just don't think it's good to have it around children. And as a woman of faith, I have to kind of reconcile it to my beliefs as a woman of faith. I just don't like having weapons. I just don't think that they are something that I personally should have around my house for a multitude of reasons.
Okay. That I understand. It took me a long time to get to the point. I said in a different podcast that I didn't have the temperament to own a gun when I was younger because I had a very short fuse.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently it's genetic.
Yes.
apparently it's very genetic. So, now I find myself in a better place. I just understand the consequences and, the consequences associated with if I ever think I want to pick up that gun to pull the trigger on someone, mm-hmm. I completely understand what that's going to be like and what the consequences are going to be.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm at a different point, but for a long time, that was one of the very same reasons why I didn't want to do it, because I knew that I got really angry over little things really quick. Mm-hmm. Like, road rage was a major thing, and it's a good thing in New Jersey we can't carry because sometimes people make you so mad, but you have to have self-control, because bottom line is that this is someone else's life and you can't just, all of a sudden decide that you're so mad or upset with the situation that that's what you want to do. It is a huge responsibility to be a gun owner, and everyone has to get their get themselves to that point where they're comfortable owning it. And, you know, for me, I finally did that, what was it? Almost a year, a little over a year and a half ago. But, you know, for a long time, that's not what I did. I didn't own one. So, but you know, the number, okay. So I was going to talk to you about the rise in the number of Black women owning, but instead of that, I want to talk to you because you said there are a multitude of reasons with your faith. And I think that for some of our listeners, that's important too. So can you just give me a couple of reasons why? I mean, I, at the end of my podcast, I always talk about how I'm a Psalms 91 believer. Mm-hmm. So, you know, what is your faith and what is your thing that keeps you from not wanting to purchase?
Okay. Well, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ, and I haven't reconciled owning a weapon to what I've been taught. We're supposed to be peacemakers. Told us, you know, to put down the sword. And so not just guns, any weapon of any kind, just, I can't reconcile that to being, to walking out my faith as a child of God. And especially when I want to represent him correctly, and I know that my natural tendency is to react. It's just, you know, I can't have a conflict between the two. So it's more important to me that I be the peacemaker, that I be an ambassador for Christ, and that I walk in love. And again, Psalms 91, definitely. I pray that over every situation, not just, you know, gun situations, health, people who are fearful, everything. But I just don't see for myself how I can reconcile being a gun owner with being a follower of Christ and a peacemaker.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And I completely understand that. And that's why at the end of my podcast, we talk about self-defense, situational awareness, firearm safety throughout the entire podcast. And then at the end, I say, I'm a Psalms 91 believer and the Lord is my salvation. And, you know, mm-hmm. I say all this stuff because there is a little bit of a conflict. I don't want mm-hmm. people to walk in fear. Right. You know, I'm not saying go get a gun and, you know, walk in fear. I'm saying that for self-defense reasons, and that's the only reason why you should ever have to use it mm-hmm. is self-defense. And at the same time, I understand that I'm supposed to believe 100% that I'm never going to have a reason to use my weapon because of the promises that God has for us. So, you know, it is a conflict, but I'm glad that you came on to discuss this because it's a different perspective from what we usually, or what, you know, we usually have. Everybody, most of the people that, you know, I talk to are pro firearms ownership. And so I thought it was really important to get that different perspective, and especially you, because of your faith. So thank you so much. Is there anything you want people to know who are on the fence and not gun owners? Anything else you want to say?
Actually, it's a personal decision. It's something you have to do. I think you should think about it very carefully. And the other thing that I want to bring up is that because of the times that we are living in and the degree of anger and resentment that is in place, I don't know that everyone needs to go out and get a gun because it's just too volatile right now. And I think when you get a gun or you use any kind of weapon, if you pull it, you're actually obligated to use it because it's not a bluff to get people to go away because they don't care about bluffing anymore. So I think that you have to really ask yourself, are you even able to shoot this gun? Now, if you go into the range, and yes, of course you can. But if you're thinking about it, ask yourself, you know, would you be able to shoot this gun? And if it killed someone, or even if it hurt someone, how would that affect you? And as a believer, you know, how do you go to God and deal with him about that? So it really is a personal decision. And as, you know, believers, there's another layer that we need to consider, but people have to do what they're comfortable with. I can't tell you yes or no. You have to do what you're comfortable with.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. So Charisse, thank you so much for joining me on my podcast. I really appreciate it. You're welcome. I love you.
I love you too. Thank you for asking me to join.
Yep. No problem.
All right.
So here's another fun fact. I brought some family and friends on today. Charisse is a Cherise is my sister. And so, yeah, there's that genetic thing that we have going on. And no, my family is not crazy. We really aren't. But you have to know yourself. And if you're not comfortable, if you don't think you can, if you don't think that you'll necessarily do the right thing with having a weapon, then make that decision and do not get one. Okay. But thank you to all of my guests tonight for their willingness to share their perspectives. I appreciate each and every one of them. And again, only you know which side of the fence that you fall on with regard to becoming a licensed gun owner. And so that decision to become licensed and to purchase firearms should not be taken lightly. There are so many factors to consider, including, you know, whether you have kids in the house and then whether you want to train them. Just the same as you would train, you know, yourself, but age appropriate, of course. There are a variety of factors. And for me, like I said earlier, I literally woke up one morning and decided I was going to, you know, take the steps to buy a gun. I felt like it was time for me to do that. And I took the steps to become licensed, a licensed gun owner. I understand the concerns that people have and I respect that. But for me, the key is training and going to the range, practicing different drills at home. That's how I increased my comfort level with having the gun. I did go to a range and do some shooting when before I actually purchased it. So I was comfortable with what I purchased. And then, you know, you continue to go back and train and, you know, just get that experience. So for me, I am pro firearms, but I'm also pro my faith. And I completely understand where each and every one of my guests are coming from. But whatever you decide to do, whatever that is, if you decide to become a gun owner, please make sure you get that training. It is a must. Please take your safety, security, and mental and physical well-being seriously as much as reasonably possible and be that Psalms 91 believer as I am and keep the faith. Please tell a friend about this podcast, which is available on iHeartRadio, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and some other platforms. And most importantly, we make plans every day, and to see those plans through, we all, with regard to our personal safety, need to be safe, be vigilant, be prepared, and be blessed. Love you all, and thank you so much for listening.